For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Big Ten Media Week with Danny and Dusty.
It's got to be America's team. It's got to be America's team. America, that's my favorite kind of team.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Jump back to earlier parts of your favorite fan shows on the Odyssey app. The only way to rewind Portland's sports leader.
Big Ten Media Week with Danny and Dusty on 1080.
They like to drink their haterade and eat their hater tots.
The Fan.
You're the best around. Nothing's going to ever keep you down.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you. Big Ten Media Days. We'll be here until 3 o'clock today. Tomorrow, normal schedule returns. We'll be on from noon to 3. The Herd will be back from 9 until noon. And Dirt and Sprague, 6 to 9 a.m. So things return to normal tomorrow. We are partying with you, though, until 3 o'clock today as Big Ten Media Days are wrapping up in Indianapolis, Indiana. And today you have the Ducks and the Huskies making their debuts in the Big Ten, and also Sharon Moore, the new head coach at University of Michigan, making his debut. And I don't want to knock Kurt Cignetti, because you can Google him. Look at his track record. He's a winner everywhere. He's also making his debut in the Big Ten from James Madison. Hour number one, we talked with Jeff Bossa, Oregon Ducks linebacker. We just wrapped up hour number one with Dylan Gabriel, the quarterback of the Ducks. Great stuff from both of those young men. We may replay tidbits or full chunks of both of those interviews a little bit later on in the show. They were outstanding. If you were unable to catch those, keep listening or go and check them out on the Audio Vault at the Odyssey app or at 1080thefan.com. Russ does a really good job of getting those up. Dan Lanning.
Jeff Boss is already there, and Dylan Gabriel will be in a few minutes.
Bingo!
There you go.
Dan Lanning spoke with Sprague and Ortner earlier today, along with Terrence Ferguson. Those guys stopping by and having a chat with Sprague and Ortner. So we've got all the Ducks that are in attendance. They've been on the Fan already, and here we are.
Racked and quacked.
Racked and quacked. Yeah. And that's in the first 5 hours of Media Day coverage today from Indianapolis.
It seems like maybe perhaps the Pac-12 teams have a little better hold on how to do things.
Hey, look at that. Lanning went on Pat McAfee today.
He did.
And there's already some...
there's already a viral clip.
What's that one?
He's just impressed about how Kirby Smart has done so well at Georgia without using any NIL money.
Dude, that comment that he gave to Tyson Alger of the I-5 corridor was brilliant.
Spicy.
People are upset now that the rabbit has the gun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yeah.
Like, in all these major programs, they have NIL.
Yeah.
It's the most ridiculous thing ever. And this has always been my thing about recruiting, is that you can't just say it's about the money, mm-hmm. because all of the major programs have money. Lincoln Riley said it yesterday. It's not about money.
No. For everyone out there, it's like USC's having trouble with money. It's not the amount. It's getting it to the right places, been run by the right people. That is the issue.
And
the amount, they have a God-tier level of money.
Coordination is everything.
Yes. And what Oregon has done better than damn near everyone is coordinate.
Yep. All right. He also said, landing on McAfee today, that he and his staff have gone around to visit a bunch of NFL teams.
Mm.
And this is going to be the big thing. We talked about this yesterday. The length of the college football season.
Mm-hmm.
It is now you have your 12 regular season games. You have the potential, if you win and qualify for your conference championship game, there's your 13th game.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a winner of that conference championship game, you will get a bye in the first round from the Big Ten. The Big Ten and SEC champs are always going to be getting byes.
Yeah.
So you get a bye in that first round, but you have the round of eight, the round of four, and the round of two. That is a 16-game schedule. That is exactly what the NFL goes through mm-hmm. every single year, right?
Before getting to the playoffs.
If you lose a conference championship game and maybe you are the fifth seed,
and you gotta pick up that extra one.
That is a potential 17th game if you go all the way through to the national title game. And so Lanning is saying that they've gone to the NFL teams and said, all right, how do you guys go through from a sports science aspect of it, mm-hmm. keeping players healthy? How do you continue to push them, develop them physically, but also don't overstrain them? And then how do you do it from a coaching standpoint of the mental side and the mental fatigue that goes through a football season? I don't think we give enough credit to the strain that these guys are going through on a week-to-week basis. It is a lot.
I wonder what the data would show or say about the time period off between the end of conference championship game and bowl season, that 3 to 4 weeks, which will not exist really anymore.
No.
I think
it's two.
Well, I mean, depending on what it used to be versus what it will be. The physical part of it is, yes, you get the rest and the recovery, but the ramp down and like you're staying ready, but it's different because you're not, the pads aren't clacking the same. You're not in the exact same routine. And what that ramp down and ramp back up actually does, as opposed to what it will be now.
And also a travel aspect that they haven't had to go through.
No.
You would.
That's a lot more miles.
Sometimes you have a one trip a year. And if you look at Oregon's schedule this year, it is NFL schedule-esque, where you will have a road trip down to Pasadena. Then you have a road trip that will go over to West Lafayette, Indiana. You're going to Ann Arbor, Michigan. You're going to Madison, Wisconsin. And this is kind of the idea, and what we talked about yesterday with Matt Rhule, is Matt Rhule said, like, this is kind of the NFL modeling that the Big Ten is undergoing, where you're going coast to coast.
Yeah.
You're playing in every single time zone. You, the Ducks will play in the every time zone except for the Mountain time zone this year. They're playing in Pacific, obviously, for their home games. They have in Madison, Wisconsin. You're playing in the Central time zone. They have two games in the Eastern time zone in Purdue and at Michigan. That is a different, you approach those games differently because of how long you're on the plane for, when you arrive at those games. And then we talked about this briefly yesterday, the body clock issue, where mm-hmm. if you have a big noon kickoff, you could be playing a big noon kickoff, or you could be playing at, you know, in USC and Rutgers case, 8 p.m. Pacific.
Or 11 for the
Rutgers. It's 11 p.m.
Yeah, and there's a reason why NFL teams go over early, mm-hmm. whether it's to the East Coast or to London, to get your body clock changed, because you basically want to take a day for every hour if you're going to do an extended stay, or if you're looking for a performance or whatever it is. And it's the same kind of, it's not the same kind of thing that your body goes through, because it's different versus oxygen versus rest, but it's like altitude changes. Like when you go to Denver, it takes you at least 3 days to adjust to the altitude in Denver. Well, it takes you essentially 3 days to adjust to 3 hours. And that's just not going to be a feasible thing for anyone to do.
No.
So it's going to be interesting to see how that kind of plays out in the long term. And then again, when you get to bowl season, what does this look like when you have to go to somebody else's house in that first round? How far will you have to go?
Yeah, in the playoff, mm-hmm. Who knows? Hopefully your hosting is where right? you want to be.
You know what I mean? Like, you might end up being a team, if you're one of those at-large teams, let's say for whatever reason, Oregon loses to Ohio State in the Big Ten title game.
Yeah.
Okay, and then, but they go to the playoff, and they're hosting a home playoff game. If you're one of those group of five teams that's on the East Coast that has to come all the way to Eugene for a night bowl game, for a night playoff game.
Yeah.
That's going to be wholly different.
Yeah, it will be.
For everyone in college football.
And look, those teams, an SEC team is not going to be like a, 7 through 12 seed.
No.
Like, we're not going to be seeing that.
Well, unless they
or 8 through 12 seed.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. But at the same token, you look at it and you go, there will be a team from, I don't know, say the Sun Belt, which they're going to be going from, Alabama, say it's Troy, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Troy's coming up from Alabama and they're going to play in Autzen Stadium in 45 degrees in sideways rain in
what
the middle
an
of
ACC
December.
Team,
An ACC team, yeah.
Clemson comes up here, Florida State, and they're sitting there going, oh, God.
Yeah. How do you prepare for that?
Yeah.
It's going to be wild to see. Mm-hmm. And look, it's going to be different from a coordination standpoint, too. Of look, the Pac-12 teams, you'd maybe have to worry about like one game in Pullman where it would be like snowy, or mm-hmm. maybe one game in Boulder at the end of the year where you're dealing with snow. The Ducks are looking at a schedule that goes November trip to Ann Arbor, Michigan, November trip to Madison, Wisconsin this year. It's a different world, man. Mm-hmm. And it's two in one season that you're going. Okay.
And depending on when you get Purdue in your schedule, depending on when you get Penn State in your schedule, you can find bad weather basically across the Pac-12 or the Big Ten, with the exception of USC. Like USC, UCLA, you're like, please, let's get a November game there. That's what you're looking for.
Let's go down there. Oregon plays in Pasadena in late September, though. So
it'll be awful nice down there.
That's where we're at. All right, 503-864-6326. We'll give you some audio of the goings-on at Pac-12 Media Days, because we talked with Pete Thamel yesterday. And both Jeff Bossa, who we talked to earlier, and Dan Lanning, who's on with Sprague and Ortner, they all hit on the same common theme around the world of college football now. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run
1.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, yesterday, I asked Pete Thamel, ESPN college football scribe, what the most important quality in the modern head football coach in college football is right now. Because we're seeing guys step away from the game, like Nick Saban, Chip Kelly, from being in head coach positions, because it's a different animal now than it once was. And the most important quality in Thamel's mind was this.
It's a great question. What came immediately to mind is connectivity. You have to be able to connect to the players, to the recruits, and you also have to connect to their needs, right? Like, it's a different conversation now. NIL is going to come up very early, and then you just have to be okay with that. And I think if you look at college basketball, if you look at the Jay Wrights and the Coach K's and the Roy Williams, some of their exits were sort of shrouded, and they didn't like how business was being run anymore. And God bless them; those guys are Hall of Famers, and you know, they had great careers, and they're certainly entitled to feel that way. So I think you need to just embrace the landscape if you yep. are. If you are one of these new younger coaches. I think Dan Lanning does that incredibly well. He's a tremendously impressive young coach with a really high ceiling in a star-studded roster this year. It's going to be fun to see that play out.
Kind of embracing the changes of college football, mm-hmm. right? Dan Lanning told reporters today on the NIL aspect of everybody from Kirby Smart all the way down to Rick Neuheisel in the media saying Oregon has this unlimited NIL. Lanning said, do we have a lot more than everybody else? That'd be an exaggeration, or we'd never lose. Everyone else right now is focused on our ice cream cone. And if I'm busy looking at theirs, that means mine's melting, right? Embracing the new world and what it means and just kind of focusing on yourself, right? But the connectivity was the main thing that Thamel said.
Yes.
I thought that it was really interesting when Lanning was on with Dirt and Sprague and Ortner today. Mm-hmm. He was asked about what the most important parts and aspects of his team are.
Yeah, for us, you know, I think connection is what has been that secret sauce. It's something that really makes our team tick, and our coaching staff is a group that certainly enjoys being around each other. We can work there in the mornings and then have a good opportunity to fellowship in the afternoons, and really just, you know, get to know each other better. And this is one of the staffs that I've been a part of that, you know, after work's over with, you enjoy, you know, sharing a cold frosty or telling a story with each other. And that's, I think, really important when it comes down to how hard the season is, especially when you're starting to talk about the months of December, November, December, and January.
Starting to see the theme here, right?
Yeah.
We had the reporter. We got the coach. Jeff Bossa was on with us today mm-hmm. about why coming back to Oregon and what the coaching staff has meant to him in the world of NIL, where everybody said, oh, they're just paying guys. What is it that is different about Oregon?
Yeah, they mean the world to me. I think just the relationships that I've built with them since they came in have been genuine. They've been true. They've never broken or went against their word. They've always kept their word. And, you know, I don't think money's going to change that. I don't think, you know, any external factors are going to change that, but that's just who they are as people. I have great relationships with almost dang near every single coach on our staff. I feel comfortable every time I'm in the facility. I know that I can ask anybody for any support whenever I need it. I know that they're gonna answer when I call them, and I know that they're always gonna be there for me. And you know, the energy is gonna be reciprocated both ways. So I think, you know, no amount of money or no amount of, you know, bragging or any or little thing like that is gonna change how much they mean to me and how much I mean to them.
I think that is, like, everybody is going to, and NIL is new, and Oregon is recruiting at a level that they've never recruited at before. But I think that they have got the right head coach in place.
Clearly.
And everything that connectivity, everything that Thamel, Lanning, Bassa we're talking about, it is not unique to Oregon. It is unique to great programs right now.
You're not saying Pete's an Oregon duck?
Huh? Yeah, no. It's but he mentioned Lanning, and like that's what Dan Lanning does well, right? Is the connectivity. It's what Kirby Smart does at Georgia.
Yeah.
It's what Dabo Swinney kind of preached at Clemson in a different way. And look, there's just like there's different families, right? Mm-hmm. Actually, college football is more of different churches.
Sure.
And what attracts people to different churches is exactly what attracts people to different football programs.
Some want a little more traditional, some want a little more new age, some want to do whatever. Like it's all. We were talking about this the other day, the whole idea of the red ass coach. There's going to be places for the kumbaya coach. There's going to be places for the absolutely nose to the grind. There's going to be places for the coach that want to coddle. There's going to be places for the coach that want to slap you on the back of the head and beat you over the helmet with a whistle every time.
Yeah.
Certain players are attracted to certain things. And it doesn't mean one's necessarily better than the other. It's just that you've got to have the ability to be multiple in that. Like, you've got to have a coach that knows how to nurture relationships. You've got to have a coach who's going to get on guys. You've got to have a coach who guys trust to kind of bounce things off of and build relationships with. It's not just the head coach. It's the position coaches. It's the coordinators. It's, hell, it's the GAs. Like, it's all got to be there in some way, facet or another. You might be stronger in another area than another, but it has to be there in one facet or another.
And it is why you look at a program like Colorado, where the door is revolving, yes. And what do you hear about everybody who's on the way out?
Nobody cares.
There isn't that connection, that connectivity, and there's a big difference there. It's one of the reasons why I'm so high on Jed Fish, right? Mm-hmm. When we talked to him a couple of years ago, I mean,
he turned Arizona around.
But that's what he was preaching was, it's not like everybody that is a head coach, like you could sit there and say, this guy doesn't know football. Yeah. He doesn't know what's going on. He's a terrible coach. All of these guys know so much damn football. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. X's and O's aren't the separator. It is 100% what you do to your locker room, building a culture, establish a culture, building on that culture, and helping it thrive and kind of nurturing it all the way through. And it's what a lot of guys, they get sick of doing.
Yeah.
I mean, they really do get sick of doing it. And just like all the churches, you know, the different sects of the religions, right? Chip Kelly's was, I'm not going to be a recruiter, but what we're going to do is we're going to develop you. We're going to squeeze everything we can out of you. And Chip may not seem, because of the way he is with the media, and it didn't work in the NFL, and guys like, you know, Shady McCoy blasted him on the way out because he tried to be collegiate about the culture that he said. There is a culture with Chip Kelly, and it's very football heavy.
Yes.
That's for damn sure.
It's different.
But it is way different than anybody else, and I think that is why you hear so many people are so high on the Oregon program, and because NIL is new and it's different, it is so important to have culture along with NIL. People just want to blame NIL and say they're just paying them more than everybody else. They're paying a lot of money, but it is not more than Georgia, Texas, USC, which money is not the issue. It is they've got it coordinated. They've got it. They've got a collective that actually has their S together and did from the jump. And then they got a staff that thrives on recruiting, culture, and building relationships. All of those things can be true.
Alignment is real. Having alignment throughout your program is real.
Yep.
And if you don't, it will bite you.
It's interesting. It's really interesting. And like this texter on the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online at VancouverFord.com. I don't understand why Duck fans get so upset when it's pointed out the Ducks pay a lot for players. Just celebrate it. Well, I don't understand that either. I don't
look, as a USC guy who was very familiar with the bag being handed out, I used to laugh at everybody.
Yeah.
Because it's like, get your money up.
Yeah. It's like,
okay. You know? Yeah.
They got a staff that can recruit, and now they can actually pay players.
Yeah.
They're just keeping up with the Joneses now.
The problem with Oregon wasn't that they didn't have money necessarily. They just didn't know how to have a bag man years ago.
And I think people will go like, well, that's the only reason why they can recruit now. It's like,
well, no, they leveled the playing field.
They got a seat at the table. Yeah. they said, all right, we'll sit there. There's a vacant spot. We'll take
Alabama
it.
For years, USC for years, Texas for years. They ran in college football. They ran the, like, their bag men were better than everyone else's. It's the same thing in college basketball with Kentucky and Duke. Like, if the reason you saw like a UConn kind of come out of nowhere, a Gonzaga come out of nowhere was, they explored new avenues for that, you know, kind of thing where it was, well, we can't deliver a bag to a guy in this country. You know what we can do? We can go to Poland. Mm. We can go to Japan.
That's right.
We can go to the areas that these guys aren't, that they don't already have their hooks in, and find a new spot. And it's the same kind of thing you're seeing in college football now. Like, you're trying to find these new avenues that you can kind of explore into. And with the curtain pulled off, the Wizard of Oz showing now, that you just celebrate what it is.
Yep, that's it right there.
I'm never going to kill a school for spending the money. Are you kidding me?
No.
God, no.
No, absolutely not.
It's the dumbest thing imaginable.
All right. 503-864-6326. That's Vancouver Ford text line. Thanks to everybody who's watching on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan as well. We've got audio galore from Big Ten Media Days. The Washington Huskies have made their statements. Jed Fish has gone up. He's been on the podium. We'll have that audio for you coming up at a little bit later. From now, the Michigan players making their rounds as well. First, we got Rust with SportsCenter. All right, coming up later this hour, we will hear from new Michigan head coach Sherrone Moore.
Oh, boy.
Harnessing his inner Jim Harbaugh. It's quite the deal. And one thing I do appreciate about him is that he is embracing what it is to be the Michigan head football coach. That's for dang sure. But we also will have, we're efforting Pat Chun, the University of Washington athletic director, who just moved over across the state from Washington State, over from the Cougs to the Huskies, and is now the AD up in Seattle. He's planning to join us hopefully around 12:30. We'll have Pat Chun, the athletic director of the University of Washington. That rivalry going is awesome. And I think that there's a larger conversation that can be had about rivalries and how these things are being approached moving forward. Because you see what Lincoln Riley had to say yesterday about the rivalries that they've got. Did we get that
audio? It's something that obviously is carried over from Lincoln Riley and USC talking about wanting to get out of the LSU game this year and out of other games in the future that are going to make an already very difficult Big Ten schedule even more difficult.
Yeah, and one game that he talked about was their rivalry with Notre Dame, which Lincoln Riley's catching some flack for this one.
I would love to. I would love to. I know it means, you know, a lot to a lot of people, and so the purist in you, no doubt. Now, if you get in a position where you got to make a decision on what's best for SC to help us win a national championship versus keeping that, shoot, then you got to look at it. I mean, and listen, we're not the first example of that. Look all the way across the country. There's been a lot of other teams sacrifice rivalry games. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but, you know, as we get into this playoff structure and if it changes or not, we get in this new conference, like, we're going to learn some about this as we go and what the right and the best track is, you know, to winning a national championship. Like, that's going to evolve, you know, Bama was ahead of the curve for years, I thought, on how they scheduled in the non-conference, right? They would occasionally hit the marquee non-conference game. They'd play two other, you know, not very good teams. They'd play one late so that they got essentially a little bit of a bye week right there late in the season when your, you know, season's been going on, you're a little beat up. Like, they didn't schedule for their fans. Like, they scheduled to win championships. And so my hope is we can do the best thing, schedule to win championships, and that includes a rivalry game that, you know, for all that comes with that and all that it means. But if you get in those positions, you got to make a decision on what the priority is. And, yeah, it's not an easy answer.
Boy, Lincoln Riley fired up some USC fans. Although I think he's, I don't understand why you get that upset, because he's like, if we want our schedule to be a national championship schedule, and some of that is, if we don't have to, why would we play an exponentially tougher non-conference game every single year? Where half the time we're having to go to South Bend, Indiana for it.
And you're playing it at the end of the year. Historically, you know, last 20 years, you're playing it at towards the final third of the season when you're beat up and you're playing a program that is on the same tier of blue blood historically over the last 100 years of your existence. You know, this is a game that's been played since 1926. You're talking about almost 100 years of rivalry, right? And I, personally, it doesn't rile me up. I do understand the significance of this game, the battle for the jeweled shillelagh. It is something that, you know, it is, it, UCLA is not USC's rival. Like, it's a rival, but it's not this. Losing it would hurt. But I appreciate what Lincoln Riley is saying here, because he's not saying it flippantly. He very much was like, no, we know what the rivalry means. We understand this historical significance and everything that comes along with it. But we do have to evaluate this, because when moving to the Big Ten, in the traditional rivalry sense, we have UCLA. He didn't say it. That's, I think that's kind of as the undertone there, is that we have a crosstown rival that we can kind of build that back up with. But also, we're going to cycle through Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State.
Yep.
In a new conference while maintaining Oregon and Washington. We don't need to have, in all likelihood, when we get all said and done with this, Notre Dame's going to end up in the Big Ten anyways. So.
Well, and I think that there's an element here where I think USC fans are upset because of the fact that this gives Notre Dame fans, or the ones that are upset, it gives Notre Dame fans the, oh, you guys are ducking us because you can't go to the playoffs and you can't win a national championship if you have us on your schedule. You're scared of us. I think the reframing of that should be, we can force Notre Dame's hand into playing in the Big Ten moving forward, mm-hmm. and actually do a favor for the rest of college football that Notre Dame can't hold them hostage. Because if you take USC off of Notre Dame's schedule this year, you tell me if this is a college football playoff worthy resume. They go to Texas A&M to start the year.
Which, okay.
Then they have Northern Illinois,
oh God,
Purdue,
uh-huh.
Miami of Ohio.
Oh, the wrong Miami.
Louisville, mm-hmm. Stanford, uh-huh. Georgia Tech,
oh boy.
Navy, mm-hmm. Florida State, yeah. will be a good game. Virginia.
They have a football team still?
Army.
Oof.
And then they would have to fill it with somebody else in that spot if Notre Dame, or if USC isn't on Notre Dame's schedule.
So two games. Florida State A&M.
They could force the hand of Notre Dame and say,
every other game, 18-point favorites in every other game?
Outside of A&M and Florida State? Yeah. Probably. Yeah. I mean, that is
like, come on, man.
That's more of a group of five
conference
schedule. Yeah. I mean, that, look, let's go up against, we can just throw that one in there. You take USC out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at Oregon State's schedule. They have Idaho State, San Diego State. They play Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
They also play Purdue,
mm-hmm.
Colorado State, Nevada, UNLV, Cal, San Jose State, Air Force, Washington State, Boise State. I mean,
there's no second heavy hitter, but I'd say the average is a little higher
for Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And it's more
schedule.
Or less a,
yeah.
I mean, you're playing two academy schools,
yeah.
you know, Oregon State's playing one academy school mm-hmm. on there, and they're playing,
to be fair, they're playing the tougher one.
They're playing the favorite to win the group of five bid in Boise State at the end of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not.
No,
there isn't a massive difference in those two schedules at all.
And I mean,
there's no FCS on Notre Dame.
You look at their schedule even as it goes forward to go into 2025. It's the home and home with A&M, and then they have Purdue, and then Arkansas, then Boise State. You take USC off, then it's Navy, NC State, Syracuse, BC, Miami, Pitt.
No, so Miami is in there.
Yeah, Miami, Florida that time.
Yeah.
So, again, you have A&M and Miami, and then Boise State, Arkansas, better.
Well, Boise State is on that schedule. We just talked about Oregon State.
That's what I'm saying. Like sure. And you can take a look at Notre Dame's schedule further out, and it's very much the same. Yeah. You know?
So you
they,
could look
they
at,
keep having Purdue on this bleeping schedule. They
well,
have
they
Purdue.
Have a they, it's a rivalry game.
Oh, I know, but I mean, like,
of the state of Indiana, and they, I mean, the University of Indiana is not
a rival there.
That's not.
It's weird, but yeah, I mean, it's you take a look here. It's lesser ACC teams. It's the to be elitist here. It's the lesser academy teams. I don't see Air Force on here. So it's you're not even getting the cream of the crop in that regard.
I mean, Navy has been a top 25.
They pop up, sure.
Yeah, we, under Ken Niumatalolo, new San Jose State coach.
Yes,
Ken Niumatalolo. But this is a. I think that if you're a USC fan that's upset, just reframe it as if you take us off Notre Dame's schedule,
you need
it
us
hurts
more than we
them
need you.
More than it hurts us to have no Notre Dame game. But it does beg the question, though, as you look through it, and what Lincoln Riley was saying is how many of these interconference rivalries that we are missing out on are going to survive?
Yeah.
Because unlike USC Notre Dame, I think Oregon State and Oregon, I mean, Oregon will still want to play. There's a lot of Oregon State fans that don't want to play right now. There's a lot of Washington State fans that are like, screw you, Dub. We don't want to play them because those would be ships passing in the night with the level of play as the Big Ten, and you start getting that influx of cash, and then as years go by, that discrepancy in money goes further and further away. Do we see those games continue to survive, or what do they mean moving forward? Because I doubt they mean nearly as much moving forward, and that sucks. That is not a good thing. That is awful for college football in the state of Oregon and college football in the state of Washington.
Yes.
It's terrible. But, you know, those games are what Lincoln Riley's talking about, though, is like, you got to have those games on your schedule where you're playing them, but your schedule that you're looking forward to is the Big Ten conference schedule, because that's what's going to get you to the college football playoff. I wonder if we see, and rivalries have disappeared because of the conference changes, right?
Sure.
Texas and Texas A&M.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, coming up later this hour, we will hear from new Michigan head coach Sherrone Moore.
Oh, boy.
Harnessing his inner Jim Harbaugh. It's quite the deal. And one thing I do appreciate about him is that he is embracing what it is to be the Michigan head football coach. That's for dang sure. But we also will have, we're efforting Pat Chun, the University of Washington athletic director, who just moved over across the state from Washington State, over from the Cougs to the Huskies, and is now the AD up in Seattle. He's planning to join us hopefully around 12:30. We'll have Pat Chun, the athletic director of the University of Washington. That rivalry going is awesome. And I think that there's a larger conversation that can be had about rivalries and how these things are being approached moving forward, because you see what Lincoln Riley had to say yesterday about the rivalries that they've got. Did we get that
audio? It's something that obviously is carried over from Lincoln Riley and USC talking about wanting to get out of the LSU game this year and out of other games in the future that are going to make an already very difficult Big Ten schedule even more difficult.
Yeah, and one game that he talked about was their rivalry with Notre Dame, which Lincoln Riley's catching some flack for this one.
I would love to. I would love to. I know it means, you know, a lot to a lot of people, and so the purist in you, no doubt. Now, if you get in a position where you got to make a decision on what's best for SC to help us win a national championship versus keeping that, shoot, then you got to look at it. I mean, and listen, we're not the first example of that. Look all the way across the country. There's been a lot of other teams sacrifice rivalry games. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but, you know, as we get into this playoff structure, and if it changes or not, we get in this new conference, like, we're going to learn some about this as we go and what the right and the best track is, you know, to winning a national championship. Like, that's going to evolve. Bama was ahead of the curve for years, I thought, on how they scheduled in the non-conference, right? They would occasionally hit the marquee non-conference game. They'd play two other, you know, not very good teams. They'd play one late so that they got essentially a little bit of a bye week right there late in the season when your, you know, season's been going on, you're a little beat up. Like, they didn't schedule for their fans. Like, they scheduled to win championships. And so my hope is we can do the best thing, schedule to win championships, and that includes a rivalry game that, you know, for all that comes with that and all that it means. But if you get in those positions, you got to make a decision on what the priority is. And yeah, it's not an easy answer.
Boy, Lincoln Riley fired up some USC fans. Mm-hmm. Although I think I don't understand why you get that upset, because he's like, if we want our schedule to be a national championship schedule. And some of that is, if we don't have to, why would we play an exponentially tougher non-conference game every single year? Where half the time we're having to go to South Bend, Indiana for it.
And you're playing it at the end of the year. Historically, you know, last 20 years, you're playing it towards the final third of the season when you're beat up and you're playing a program that is on the same tier of blue blood historically over the last 100 years of your existence. You know, this is a game that's been played since 1926. You're talking about almost 100 years of rivalry, right? And personally, it doesn't rile me up. I do understand the significance of this game, the battle for the jeweled shillelagh. It is something that, you know, UCLA is not USC's rival. Like, it's a rival, but it's not this. Losing it would hurt. But I appreciate what Lincoln Riley is saying here, because he's not saying it flippantly. He very much was like, no, we know what the rivalry means. We understand this historical significance and everything that comes along with it. But we do have to evaluate this because when moving to the Big Ten, in the traditional rivalry sense, we have UCLA. He didn't say it. That's, I think that's kind of is the undertone there, is that we have a crosstown rival that we can kind of build that back up with. But also, we're going to cycle through Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State.
Yep.
In a new conference while maintaining Oregon and Washington. We don't need to have, in all likelihood, when we get all said and done with this, Notre Dame's going to end up in the Big Ten anyways. So.
Well, and I think that there's an element here where I think USC fans are upset because of the fact that this gives Notre Dame fans, or the ones that are upset, it gives Notre Dame fans the, oh, you guys are ducking us because you can't go to the playoffs and you can't win a national championship if you have us on your schedule. You're scared of us. I think the reframing of that should be, we can force Notre Dame's hand into playing in the Big Ten moving forward, mm-hmm. and actually do a favor for the rest of college football that Notre Dame can't hold them hostage. Because if you take USC off of Notre Dame's schedule this year.
Yeah,
you tell me if this is a college football playoff worthy resume. They go to Texas A&M to start the year.
Which, okay.
Then they have Northern Illinois,
oh God,
Purdue,
uh-huh.
Miami of Ohio.
Oh, the wrong Miami.
Louisville, mm-hmm. Stanford,
uh-huh.
Georgia Tech,
oh boy.
Navy, mm-hmm. Florida State, yeah. will be a good game. Virginia.
They have a football team still?
Army.
Oof.
And then they would have to fill it with somebody else in that spot if Notre Dame, or if USC isn't on Notre Dame's schedule.
So two games. Florida State A&M.
They could force the hand of Notre Dame and say
every other game, 18-point favorites in every other game?
Outside of A&M and Florida State? Yeah. Probably. Yeah. I mean, that is
like, come on, man.
That's more of a group of five
conference
schedule. Yeah. I mean, that, look, let's go up against, we can just throw that one in there. You take USC out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at Oregon State's schedule. They have Idaho State, San Diego State. They play Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
They also play Purdue,
mm-hmm.
Colorado State, Nevada, UNLV, Cal, San Jose State, Air Force, Washington State, Boise State. I mean,
there's no second heavy hitter, but I'd say the average is a little higher
for Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And it's
the same
more
schedule.
Or less a,
yeah.
I mean, you're playing two academy schools,
yeah.
you know, Oregon State's playing one academy school mm-hmm. on there and they're playing,
they're playing the tougher one.
They're playing the favorite to win the group of five bid in Boise State at the end of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not.
No,
there isn't a massive difference in those two schedules at all.
And I mean,
there's no FCS on Notre Dame.
You look at their schedule even as it goes forward, going to 2025. It's the home and home with A&M, and then they have Purdue, and then Arkansas, then Boise State. You take USC off, then it's Navy, NC State, Syracuse, BC, Miami, Pitt.
No, but so Miami is in there.
Yeah, Miami, Florida that time.
Yeah.
So again, you have A&M and Miami, and then Boise State, Arkansas, better.
Well, Boise State is on that schedule we just talked about, Oregon State.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like sure. And you can take a look at Notre Dame's schedule further out, and it's very much the same.
Yeah.
You know?
So you
could
look at,
keep having Purdue on this bleeping schedule.
It's a rivalry game.
Oh, I know, but I mean,
because the state of Indiana, and University of Indiana is not
a rival there.
That's not.
It's weird. But yeah, sorry. I mean, it's. You take a look here. It's lesser ACC teams. It's the to be elitist here. It's the lesser academy teams. I don't see Air Force on here. So you're not even getting the cream of the crop in that regard.
I mean, Navy has been a top 25.
They pop up, sure.
Yeah, under Ken Niumatalolo, yeah. New San Jose State coach.
Yes, yeah,
Ken Niumatalolo. But this is a. I think that if you're a USC fan that's upset, just reframe it as if you take us off Notre Dame's schedule,
You need us more than we need
them more than it hurts us to have no Notre Dame game. But it does beg the question, though, as you look through it, and what Lincoln Riley was saying is how many of these interconference rivalries that we are missing out on are going to survive?
Yeah.
Because unlike USC Notre Dame, I think Oregon State and Oregon, I mean, Oregon will still want to play. There's a lot of Oregon State fans that don't want to play right now. There's a lot of Washington State fans that are like, screw you, Dub. We don't want to play them because those would be ships passing in the night with the level of play as the Big Ten, and you start getting that influx of cash, and then as years go by, that discrepancy in money goes further and further away. Do we see those games continue to survive, or what do they mean moving forward? Because I doubt they mean nearly as much moving forward, and that sucks. That is not a good thing. That is awful for college football in the state of Oregon and college football in the state of Washington.
Yes.
It's terrible. But, you know, those games are what Lincoln Riley's talking about, though, is like, you got to have those games on your schedule where you're playing them, but your schedule that you're looking forward to is the Big Ten conference schedule, because that's what's going to get you to the college football playoff. I wonder if we see, and rivalries have disappeared because of the conference changes, right?
Sure.
Texas and Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. I think we just had a renewal of the backyard brawl between Pitt and West Virginia after they split and they went separate ways. I wonder if we see Florida State and Florida continue because of the SEC and the ACC. Mm-hmm. If it's a tougher path for Florida, why would they keep doing
it? What does Bedlam look like?
Because they will go crazy. They will kill each other in Florida if they don't play each other.
You're probably
but
not.
Bedlam, you're right. Like Oklahoma State, they're going to continue to play each other. Does it benefit either of them?
From the USC standpoint, okay, take a look at their schedule this year and find me a schedule that you're just like, yeah, that's a, you know, tell me this is a title window favorable schedule. You open up at a neutral site against LSU, which, good Lord, your week three game is Michigan on the road. You follow that up the next week with Wisconsin. 2 weeks later, you have Penn State. And remember, you finish this season on game after game after game because of fitting Notre Dame in. Your bye is in the very beginning of the season, and you end the season with Notre Dame. So you have likely four no BS top 25 opponents to start the season, and a strong likelihood that four of them are going to be top 15 teams.
There is one aspect of this that needs to be discussed, though. And it did come through on the Vancouver Ford text line, and I'm glad it did because I was thinking the exact same thing. We'll get to that next on The Fan. We're talking about Lincoln Riley saying we're going to have to kind of reassess what's going on with Notre Dame scheduling, huh? USC Notre Dame scheduling.
Mm-hmm.
And this was my first thought when I heard it, and I'm glad the Vancouver Ford text line chimed in on it. Not the first part of this text, but the second part I do. This text is Riley's a fraud. I don't agree with that first part, but it says, as an SC guy, Danny, do you think Pete Carroll would ever say something like this? Because this is the idea, is that you go, most coaches would be like, and Lincoln Riley's had this problem of saying the quiet part out loud.
Yeah, no, he steps in it.
It is the criticism of him is that he says the quiet part out loud.
He look, everyone's like, oh, he shouldn't say that. It's like, those are discussions that they're having in the back. And like,
he's too forthright.
Yeah, and it's like, I get that, and I agree to an extent. And if college football was the same as it was 25 years ago, then no. Pete wouldn't say that. Yeah. But if you put Pete today in this situation, I think he would.
I think Pete Carroll would look at it as, we would play anyone, anytime, anywhere, because we feel that we can beat anybody at any time. Because you know what Pete Carroll's teams could do?
Beat anyone, anywhere, anytime. Yes. I agree with that sentiment.
That is where I think the criticism is. No, we're U.S. Mm-hmm. friggin' C, and we don't back down. We feel that we can beat Notre Dame every year, because that's the thing, is that it shouldn't be an issue for us.
And Saban said the same thing while also scheduling the weakest possible opponents he ever could. So it's say one thing, do another. And everybody's mad at Lincoln Riley because he said it.
And well, there is this part, too, that Lincoln Riley did say, the part that Nick Saban got all the credit for, but never the criticism for, is that he would pick and choose every couple of years, have that big game in the non-conference, and be like, see, we don't duck people. Yeah. Make no mistake, Alabama is going north of the Mason-Dixon line in the first year that Nick Saban is not the coach. They will go and play at Wisconsin.
Weird.
You know, and a lot of those games, too, were super beneficial to them. Now, if, like, USC goes to Notre Dame and basically does what every SEC team does, I will say Auburn playing Oregon in Dallas, you had Oregon going to play Georgia in Atlanta, mm-hmm. and say, you know what, Notre Dame, we'll play in a neutral site every year in SoFi Stadium.
There you go.
Okay, you don't want to. Okay, we'll go SoFi Stadium, then we'll go to Allegiant
Stadium.
We'll
go to Allegiant
in Vegas. Yeah. And we'll just mix back and forth between those two.
Get all those Catholics down there to Sin City.
That's right. Yeah. That's
right. They gamble too.
you sit there and you go, I'd play that game then.
Yeah.
And do what the SEC does. And SEC's like, oh man, see, they get a ton of credit for it. That was a neutral site game against Oregon.
Playing
I could
Georgia
tell you,
in Atlanta.
I was in that stadium. There was nothing neutral about it.
What color was the crowd? Was it all
was
red and black?
Red and black. There was like a sliver of green and yellow. It was
and
like a,
tucked up in the top.
A true visitor section was at that stadium. Like, droop, sliver of the stands. Yeah. Everything else was red and black, right? So, but this is the thing with Lincoln Riley, is that he is not doing himself any favors with the fan base.
It's how he says
like
it.
This.
Yeah. It's how he says. And look, these are the things. These are the discussions that are happening at Oregon and Oregon State. Like, if you don't have to play a rival in Oregon State, even if they are on their way down, guess what rivalry games do? They get you tripped up. Do they not? Do they not? Like, is that not where you find these stupid losses? Where you're like, and if you don't have to do it,
but. I mean, here's the other thing,
I think,
though.
Particularly with USC and Notre Dame, because it is different, because this is a rival that's, number one, not a conference rival, historically or ever, even though you play them every year, but they're also one of five or six national powers over 100 years.
In the new world of the college football playoff, though, I think this is the frustration with some of those SC fans, is that if you have a close loss to Notre Dame, then it will not hurt you in getting into a 12-team playoff. Like Matt Rhule said it yesterday, he goes, we should have four teams in the playoff in the Big Ten. And what Lincoln Riley is alluding to is that we are a fringe playoff team. Yeah. The expectation at USC should never be to be a fringe playoff team. And I think that is where some of the hardos are having that conversation. What Lincoln Riley is saying right now is it's actually the truth, because they would be a fringe playoff team this year. And they have a really damn hard schedule, and
look,
they're not that good. And that should bother USC fans, though.
And that does. But if you're gonna keep Notre Dame on the schedule, you can't have LSU to open the season.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, find me again. This is not me just being USC honk. Find me another team in the country that has a protected rival with the history of and success of Notre Dame that has a top perennial SEC team at the beginning of their schedule.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist. It's poor planning and poor execution on that front.
Well, don't duck, cowards. Well, like Vancouver for Texas, and Lincoln ran from OU on their move to the SEC, tried to run from Oregon to the Big Ten, tried to run from LSU. Dude is a coward.
Okay.
I think at that point they're just trying to push your buttons.
Can't hurt me.
I called you Coach Coward, bro.
I just point to the K-hole.
Isn't it? It's amazing, though, that there is a lot of that sentiment around Lincoln Riley right now. It's so different, the image that he has now, as opposed to being the wonder boy of Oklahoma. Yeah. But again, I think SC, people that sleep on them this year, it's going to be tough. Their defense was a joke last year.
It will improve just because it won't suck the most.
They had really their additions on the coaching staff, whether it's Lynn, who's Deontay Lynn, yep, is the new defensive coordinator. They went and got North Dakota State's head coach, mm-hmm, to go and be a position coach and a co-coordinator. They've improved dramatically, yeah, staffing-wise, yes, on that side of the ball. They can't be an embarrassment.
No.
And they were. They have been.
Yeah.
They have been.
It's one thing to lose. It's another to lose the way they did lose without a whimper and without physicality.
Damn, Skippy. All right. Coming up in hour number three, we'll hopefully be joined by Pat Chun, the athletic director at the University of Washington, at 12:30. But what did Jed Fish have to say? The new head coach of the Washington Huskies. That's how we start the 12 o'clock hour right here on 1080 The Fan. It is Big Ten Media Days, brought to you by, in part, by Mods PDX. The future of building is here, and also by Legends Casino. Fun is how we roll. Danny Dusty on The Fan. Well, we're talking about Lincoln Riley saying we're going to have to kind of reassess what's going on with Notre Dame scheduling, huh? USC Notre Dame scheduling. Mm-hmm. And this was my first thought when I heard it, and I'm glad the Vancouver Ford text line chimed in on it. Not the first part of this text, but the second part I do. This text says Riley's a fraud. I don't agree with that first part, but it says, as an SC guy, Danny, do you think Pete Carroll would ever say something like this? Because this is the idea, is that you go, most coaches would be like, and Lincoln Riley's had this problem of, mm-hmm, saying the quiet part out loud.
Yeah, no, he steps in it.
It is the criticism of him is that he says the quiet part out loud.
Look, everyone's like, oh, he shouldn't say that. It's like, those are discussions that they're having in the back. And like,
he's, you know, too forthright.
Yeah. And it's like, I get that. And I agree to an extent. And if college football was the same as it was 25 years ago, then no, Pete wouldn't say that. Yeah. But if you put Pete today in this situation, I think he would.
I think Pete Carroll would look at it as, we would play anyone, anytime, anywhere, because we feel that we can beat anybody at any time. Because you know what Pete Carroll's teams could, mm-hmm, do?
Beat anyone, anywhere, anytime. Yes. I agree with that sentiment.
That is where I think the criticism is. No, we're US, mm-hmm, friggin' C, and we don't back down. We feel that we can beat Notre Dame every year, because that's the thing, is that it shouldn't be an issue for us.
And Saban said the same thing while also scheduling the weakest possible opponents he ever could. So it's say one thing, do another. And everybody's mad at Lincoln Riley because he said it.
And well, there is this part too, that Lincoln Riley did say the part that Nick Saban got all the credit for, but never the criticism for, is that he would pick and choose every couple of years, have that big game in the non-conference, and be like, see, we don't duck people. Yeah. Make no mistake, Alabama is going north of the Mason-Dixon line in the first year that Nick Saban is not the coach. They will go and play at Wisconsin.
Weird.
You know, and a lot of those games, too, were super beneficial to them. Now, if, like, USC goes to Notre Dame and basically does what every SEC team does, I will say Auburn playing Oregon in Dallas, you had Oregon going to play Georgia in Atlanta, mm-hmm, and say, you know what, Notre Dame, we'll play in a neutral site every year in SoFi Stadium.
There you go.
We'll go SoFi Stadium, then we'll go to Allegiant Stadium.
We'll go to Allegiant
in Vegas.
Yeah.
And we'll just mix back and forth between those two.
Get all those Catholics down there to Sin City.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
They
gamble too. you sit there and you go, I'd play that game then.
Yeah.
And do what the SEC does. And SEC's like, oh man, see, they get a ton of credit for it. That was a neutral site game against Oregon.
Playing
I can
Georgia
tell you,
in Atlanta.
I was in that stadium. There was nothing neutral about it.
What color was the crowd? Was
it
all red and black?
Red and black. There was like a sliver of green and yellow. Yeah. It was
and
like
it was tucked up in the top.
A true visitor section was at that stadium. Like, droop, sliver of the stands. Yeah. Everything else was red and black, right? But this is the thing with Lincoln Riley, is that he is not doing himself any favors with the fan base.
It's how he says
like
it.
This.
Yeah. It's how he says. And look, these are the things, these are the discussions that are happening at Oregon and Oregon State. Like, if you don't have to play a rival in Oregon State, even if they are on their way down, guess what rivalry games do? They get you tripped up. Do they not? Do they not? Like, is that not where you find these stupid losses where you're like, and if you don't have to do it?
But I mean, here's the other thing.
I think
though,
particularly with USC and Notre Dame, because it is different, because this is a rival that's number one, not a conference rival historically or ever, even though you play them every year, but they're also one of five or six national powers over 100 years.
In the new world of the college football playoff, though, I think this is the frustration with some of those SC fans, is that if you have a close loss to Notre Dame, then it will not hurt you in getting into a 12-team playoff. Like Matt Rhule said it yesterday, he goes, we should have four teams in the playoff in the Big Ten. And what Lincoln Riley is alluding to is that we are a fringe playoff team. Yeah. The expectation at USC should never be to be a fringe playoff team. And I think that is where some of the hardos are having that conversation. What Lincoln Riley is saying right now is it's actually the truth, because they would be a fringe playoff team this year. And they have a really damn hard schedule, and they're not that good. And that should bother USC fans, though.
And that does. But if you're going to keep Notre Dame on the schedule, you can't have LSU to open the season.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, again, this is not me just being USC honk. Find me another team in the country that has a protected rival with the history and success of Notre Dame that has a top perennial SEC team at the beginning of their schedule.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist. It's poor planning and poor execution on that front.
Well, don't duck, cowards. Well, like Vancouver Ford Tech signed Lincoln Ran from OU on their move to the SEC, tried to run from Oregon to the Big Ten, tried to run from LSU. Dude is a coward.
Okay.
I think at that point they're just trying to push your buttons.
Can't hurt me.
I called you Coach Coward, bro.
I just pointed to Kay Hall.
Isn't it? It's amazing though that there is a lot of that sentiment around Lincoln Riley right now. It's so different, the image that he has now, as opposed to being the wonder boy of Oklahoma. Yeah. But again, I think SC, people that sleep on them this year, it's going to be tough. Their defense was a joke last year.
It will improve just because it won't suck the most.
Their additions on the coaching staff, whether it's Lynn, who's Deontay Lynn, is the new defensive coordinator. They went and got North Dakota State's head coach to go and be a position coach and a co-coordinator. They've improved dramatically. Yeah. Staffing wise, on that side of the ball, they can't be an embarrassment.
No.
And they were. They have been.
Yeah.
They have been.
It's one thing to lose, it's another to lose the way they did lose without a whimper and without physicality.
A damn Skippy. All right. Coming up in hour number three, we'll hopefully be joined by Pat Chun, the athletic director at the University of Washington, at 12:30. But what did Jed Fish have to say? The new head coach of the Washington Huskies. That's how we start the 12 o'clock hour right here on 1080 The Fan. It is Big Ten Media Days, brought to you in part by Mods PDX. The future of building is here, and also by Legends Casino. Fun is how we roll. Danny Dusty on The Fan.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at MyBob's.com to play now.